In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county.
Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions. Puts the talk into tea.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Since the Trump administration intervened in Venezuela in January, Cuba's access to fuel has been cut off due to the American oil embargo. Now, this has led to repeated nationwide blackouts and a country teetering on the edge as the US president has set his sights on regime change on that communist stronghold. What is sometimes lost in the current discourse is the once thriving relationship between America and its Caribbean neighbor before Fidel Castro's revolution, when it was a playground for the rich and the famous, with enormous amounts of US business on that island. Simon Tierney has been exploring this for us. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you visited Cuba a few years ago. When you were there, to what extent are the memories of that old American influence still visible on the island?
Yeah, so Americana is a very strange phantom on the island still, Pat. When I spent time there in 2017, it was sort of like time had stopped in the late 1950s. The Americans had left in a hurry, of course, and these huge, colourful mid-century cars like Chevrolets and Buicks were still roaming the streets as they are to this day. A reminder, I suppose, of what Cuba was like before the revolution.
Cuba before the revolution, a sort of permissive paradise on America's doorstep, a very different kind of place to the one we know about today.
Yeah, exactly. And the Fulgencio Batista regime in place before the communists arrived were really a puppet of American interests on the island, Pat. Batista was also in bed with the American mob, of course, who had set up a network of casinos in Havana. And they'd sort of, this all had created a rather seductive mix of gambling, exotic Latino culture for the Americans. There's one edition of an American travel magazine that I came across in my research from 1956, actually, and it described Cuba, quote unquote, as a mistress of pleasure, the lush and opulent goddess of delights. Yeah, so you can imagine the Americans salivating at all that. Now, I found this curious footage from a late 1950s American travel company, Pat, advertising the island as an ideal holiday destination. Just a couple of years after this was made, America became enemy number one.
To the visitor, Havana shows a double face, as if the modern world was superimposed upon an ancient Spanish city. On one side, it is a growing modern city with its constant activity. It looks like any busy American street, except for that wonderful custom of siesta, when everything shuts down from noon until 2 o'clock while the local citizens relax. Away from the busy activity of the city is Varadero Beach, where one can enjoy in luxurious laziness the pleasures of a tropical isle. At night, the city takes on a new complexion. Amid a blaze of lights, the cabarets come to life, offering a variety of Latin entertainment. Let merriment reign. These are the ingredients for a fun-filled Havana holiday.
Oh, they don't make them like that anymore. Let merriment reign. An American infomercial from the 1950s, before the American-approved regime fell to the communists. Now, Cuba attracted many of the literati before the revolution, from Simone de Beauvoir to Truman Capote, but one of Cuba's most famous expat residents was the acclaimed American writer Ernest Hemingway. Now, when you were there, were you aware of his lingering presence on the island?
Yeah, definitely, Pat. Hemingway's spirit, it really lives on in Cuba. The country is obviously very proud of its association with him, and why not? The fact that many of his books are indeed set there, that he chose to live among its people for so long, over 20 years, 1939 he arrived there at his famous finca. Now, he was drawn there, I suppose, by the lifestyle, which seemed to inspire his work. A day's writing, followed by tennis, and then his famous Papa Doble daiquiri in his favourite cocktail bar in Havana, which was called El Floridita.
And you visited while you were there, I understand.
Yeah, it's still there. I raised my own cocktail glass past to a sculpture of him in the corner, resting against the bar. Now, the fishing, of course, was a draw for him too. It became the subject of his Nobel Prize-winning novel, The Old Man and the Sea. So we have a clip here of Hemingway being interviewed in 1954 when that news broke.
At his home near Havana, Ernest Hemingway receives word that he has been awarded the 1954 Nobel Prize for Literature. The 55-year-old American author comments in halting Spanish,
y con esta que recibe del Nobel, voy a...
The Nobel Prize of $36,000, says Hemingway, will be used to pay off his debts. Good-naturedly, he tells his creditors not to come running, however, since the money is still in Stockholm.
Que el dinero no ha llegado de Stockholm.
Ernest Hemingway speaking in Spanish in 1954 in Havana. It wasn't just the literati who were attracted to Cuba, but Hollywood as well.
Yeah, so the 1955 movie version, Pat, of Guys and Dolls with Marlon Brando and Gene Simmons, that sticks out for me when I was looking at this because, like, this, well, the stars of that movie, Brando included, but also other stars outside of that film, Ava Gardner, Marlon Dietrich, they all stayed at this very glamorous hotel, the Hotel Nacional de Cuba in Havana, facing onto the Malecon. And I managed to stay there myself for one night while I was there. And it's, honest to God, it's virtually unchanged from the days of the Batista era. There's a real faded glory to it, this imposing Art Deco structure looming over the city. And it's an example, really, of the irony of maintaining a glitzy palace like that in the middle of a communist regime. Now, here's Marlon Brando imploring Gene Simmons to join him in Havana in Guys and Dolls.
Something you want for something I want.
And what is that?
Have dinner with me tomorrow night.
Why should that be something you want?
Well, maybe because I think I'll be hungry tomorrow night. Keep this, it's my marker.
Your what?
My marker. My IOU for at least one dozen genuine sinners delivered as described. Now, I will pick you up here tomorrow at noon.
At noon? To go to dinner?
It takes time to get there. We're going to eat in my favorite restaurant, El Café Cabana.
El Café Cabana? Well, where's that?
Havana.
Havana, Cuba?
Well, what other Havanas are there?
You want to take me to dinner in Havana, Cuba?
Well, they eat in Cuba the same as we do.
What do you take me for, Mr. Masterson, of a chump?
At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits, so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything, from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
That was a clip from 1955's Guys and Dolls. Now, another star of that movie was Frank Sinatra. And I think he had a particularly colourful relationship with Cuba pre-revolution.
Absolutely. This is quite interesting. So it was long rumoured, but never proven, Pat, that Sinatra was involved with the mafia. Now, one of the origins of this narrative, which really haunted him for most of his life, was his attendance at the infamous Havana Conference in Cuba in 1947. This was a sort of a meeting between the American mob on one hand and the Sicilian mafia on the other. Now, Sinatra always claimed that the only reason he was there was to provide the entertainment.
Now, the problem was that he was accused of nefarious activities at that hotel you mentioned there, the Hotel Nacional.
Yeah, this was it. So he was accused of arriving at the Nacional with an attaché case containing $2 million in notes to be delivered to who? To Charles Lucky Luciano, perhaps the biggest mob boss, or at least one of them, of that era. He was trying to establish a sort of offshore base for American mafia operations in Cuba. Here's Sinatra responding to questioning at a hearing in 1981.
I was introduced to Mr. Luciano by a newspaper man named Nate Gross from Chicago.
Was that in Havana? Or was
in Havana. Mm-hmm. Yes, in Havana. And obviously, I knew who Mr. Luciano was because I'd read enough about him. Everybody else did. Mm-hmm. And that was the extent of my knowledge of Mr. Luciano.
The allegation again is made that on that trip, you conveyed by briefcase a sum of approximately $2 million. How do you respond to that allegation?
If you can find me an attaché case that holds $2 million, I will give you the $2 million.
We found that to be a very significant problem as we checked with the Mint on how much it would weigh and how big it would be.
But I was just
I think it should be noted for the record that...
I did not.
You did not take
it. I did not.
Interesting that, you know, a glib answer from Sinatra. Maybe the star power kind of overwhelmed the committee.
It's amazing. Like, the newspapers at the time were doing experiments, weighing and measuring $2 million in cash to see would they actually fit into an attaché case. I mean, the whole country was gripped by this.
This reminds me of O.J. Simpson and the glove.
Exactly, yeah.
Bring us full circle, though, to what's happening in Cuba today. I mean, Trump has articulated his intentions when it comes to Cuba today.
Yeah, so Trump has spoken of, quote-unquote, having the honour of taking Cuba, okay? And he's mentioned regime change many times, as he has elsewhere, which is something he's making a habit of. And don't forget about his hugely influential Secretary of State, Pat, Marco Rubio, whose parents, of course, were Cuban exiles themselves. This is a group of people who have long sought the overthrow of the communist regime.
Well, after his adventures in the Middle East, perhaps he might need an easy win, and certainly Cuba would be an easy win.
Absolutely.
Simon Turney, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.